Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms the Podcast. We are coming to you fresh off some very big pop culture news.
I mean, you're more into it than I am.
Which really makes no sense that I'm so over the weekend. Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker got engaged.
So random. It's so weird.
Makes no sense. So I'm like Kardashian adjacent. Like I love the whole like Kris Jenner, OJ, Nicole Brown Simpson of it all.
I don't love that.
Well, I mean, like I love.
I see what you mean.
The connections. And I love like Kris Jenner's connection to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because she's friends with Faye or was friends with Faye, who's friends with Kyle. And it, like these Kardashians are just freaking everywhere. And that's what fascinates me about them. I watched the show like initially and then kind of fell off when it started feeling like really produced, which was pretty early on. But Scott Disick's prank phone calls will forever crack me up.
Forgot about that.
So I don't follow them on social media. I'm not really like super into them. I don't understand Kylie and Kendall. Like they're like way past my time of credit. Like that's all lost on me.
Yeah.
I didn't even really know that Travis and Kourtney, I just had to run through all the K names because I couldn't. Travis and Kourtney were dating. Like I saw it, but I honestly thought it was a joke because it just didn't make any
Well, I mean, their social media posts are like, look so fake.
It looks like they're mocking themselves, which I.
Yeah, right. Which I appreciated.
Right. So this sent me down a whole spiral yesterday because Travis Barker is like one of those names where it's like, I know the name, but like connecting who he was. So here's another thing you need to know about me. I don't like music.
So strange.
Like when people like AJ will get in the car and he will spend 5 minutes in the garage before he even pulls out, just like selecting music. That never crosses my mind. But Blink 182 was like one of the very first CDs I bought, Enema of the State. And I was like, oh my God, duh. Like, how did I forget this? Travis Barker, Blink 182, of course.
So, oh my God. I can't believe you didn't know that.
It's like one of those things like I knew, but it didn't like spark my memory right away. Okay. Like, and as soon as I read it, I was like, you idiot, duh, of course. But again, I don't like music, so I don't really like follow music things. Music is not my pop culture area. We know this.
Yeah, I know this about you.
So then I went down this whole deep dive and I totally forgot about Meet the Barkers. Do you remember that show on MTV?
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Wow.
And he was married.
I'm pretty sure I watched it, but I could not even tell you what happened.
No clue. It was only on for like a year. According to Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
He was married to Shayna Mochler.
I think.
They had two kids who are now like in their early 20s. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're this Landon Barker, Travis's son, has blown up on TikTok because he shared that picture of them kissing at the table after the engagement. And Kourtney was in a TikTok with him, and that was like his initial like TikTok glow up.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
And then I also read this. So then once you Google Travis Barker, like all these like TMZ E articles start coming up. And Shayna Mochler is accusing the Kardashians of ruining her family twice over because she's saying that Travis has also hooked up with Kim, like back in the day, like back in like early 2000s, which I'm like, at that point, she was nobody. So that's interesting. Then I find out that Travis also had some kind of relationship at some point in time with Aura Rita. No,
Rita Aura. Rita Aura, yeah. A little dyslexic there. It's okay.
Who, if you recall, Rob Kardashian dated Rita Aura. Like, this whole thing is just... these Kardashians, they're freaking everywhere. And it's always, like, 2 degrees of separation between literally anybody and a Kardashian. And that's what fascinates me about them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You can definitely go on a spiral deep dive just looking up all the different connections and relationships. And
it's very fun. I highly recommend it. So,
yeah. Good escape.
Listening to Blink-182 all morning, I can remember every single word of that album. Can't remember what time to pick up my kids, but
can't remember Rita Ora's name correctly.
Can't remember that. Hey, I got pretty close.
So when you were talking about Travis Barker's kids, I realized I went on a mini spiral with Eminem's daughter, Hailey, who is old now and gorgeous. It blows my mind. Yeah, but all those like early aughts artists and
God, it's so crazy
where they are now. It's so fun.
All right, my last Blink-182 Kravis tangent.
Kravis.
Well, his name has to start with a K now, so
obviously.
I vividly remember in middle school having a sleepover with one of my friends and listening to the Blink-182 album and the song, which of course now I'm not going to be able to remember the name.
All the small things.
Yes. The line about prank phone calling the mom and the state looks down on sodomy. And we're like, what? We looked it up in the dictionary and we're like, whoa.
Oh, sleepovers. Why my kids will never go on them.
I was going to say, check on your middle schoolers.
Some sleepover stories. That's a whole nother episode.
No kidding. Okay. That has literally nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Oh,
God. You guys, I'm going to be listening to Blink-182 for the whole week, and it's not going to make any sense to anybody. AJ's on a fishing trip right now. He's going to come home to me, like, listening to music on purpose. He's going to be like, what happened here? All right, today we are talking all about simple ways for your inner OKS mom to go green. And this is something I started talking about in early 2020. And then the world got shooken up like a snow globe and I kind of quit. And so the snow is still settling in this snow globe we're stuck in, but it's time to start wrapping our head around this. Because if you recall, there was a recent study that came out that said like, we basically have 7 to 10 years to turn this whole climate change situation around. And it's still kind of up in the air if we can turn it around. So that's great. And also, I think, well, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll dive into it. As moms, we know you have a million things swirling around your head at any given time, probably coming to mind at 4 a.m. Anybody else? The more things we can automate and not have to worry about, the better, which is why we partnered with Hiya Health.
Hiya is a daily children's multivitamin that arrives fresh with a 30-day supply and a refillable glass bottle your kids can decorate and personalize. After that, you'll receive a no-plastic refill pouch sent monthly to your doorstep.
Hiya isn't your typical candy-like vitamin either. It contains no added sugar, but still has 15 essential vitamins and minerals known to support immunity, growth, and development. It's also dairy-free, gluten-free, vegan, and made here in the USA.
For a limited time, your first order is just $15, and shipping is free. To get this deal, go to okayestmoms.com/Hiya. That's okayestmoms.com/HIYA. And we're back. So before we dive into our topic, we want to remind you to submit your Okayest Mom moments. So far, we've had 3 Okayest Mom moment episodes, and they are hilarious. We are loving reading your stories. You can submit your own by going to okayestmoms.com/OMM, and you might hear yourself or your story read on an episode. Okay. Teach me how to be green.
Okay, well, let's start there, because just because I know these things doesn't mean I am doing these things. And I think the point, if anything, if you take anything away from this, the point I want to drive home is that these things we're going to talk about today are all drops in the bucket. And is each one individually going to like fix climate change? No, of course not. If every household across the country does a few of these drops in the bucket, it can
for the world.
Well, let's just start with our own problems. These, it can make a difference. Is that difference going to solve all of our problems? No. The biggest people that can solve these problems are lawmakers. They are giant corporations who have giant blue trucks that you know are on your street 3 times a day. They are the big money-making corporations who are one the biggest emitters of greenhouse gases, and they also have the most money to fix these problems. So I have a whole tangent I can go on about Jeff Bezos exploring space, but we'll save that for another episode.
Oh, but we don't, if we just go to space, we won't have to deal with it.
Well, yes, and then we will all be enslaved to Jeff Bezos, which is a whole other problem.
So that's my goal.
So, like, I think, I know for myself, I've gotten really bogged down in feeling guilty about turning the air down a couple degrees because I'm hot, or, you know, like buying tiny little, using a ton of little bags and snacks and stuff like that. Like because when you know better, you do better. And I know better. And if I'm not doing those things, like that's my types or my Enneagram 6 energy coming out. Like I feel guilty about it. But the truth is, it's not on me. Me turning my thermostat up a couple degrees on a 106 degree day isn't what's burning the earth. It is everybody's actions all the time. And if we all are a little more conscious of them, then we can make a difference.
Yeah, I love it. Reading through your list, I was like, this episode is just going to be me saying, oh, I should do that, but I don't.
But I think these things are doable. I don't think any of them are really hard. A lot of them are just like a one and done kind of thing. It's just like a matter of changing a setting on something, and they're going to save you money also, which is always a good motivator.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dive in. Should I also talk about like where I got most of these ideas? Is that interesting? Okay. All right. So let's start with energy saving. So these are where you can really make like a cost savings in your house. And they're also very simple, easy things. These are, of course, you can put solar panels on your house and you can like do all these things. These are not those things.
These are small, actionable things. Yes. That we can
activate. Okay. So one that I love is to turn your water heater down to 120 degrees. That is like any hotter, you're going to scald yourself, and any lower than that, it's going to be too chilly. So that's like the optimal temperature. And again, that's like a one and done kind of situation.
What are they at standardly? That's not a word. Like standard.
I have no clue.
I've never touched that. I have no idea.
And of course, each water heater is different. We have a tankless one because our house is newer. I'm not a water heater expert. I don't know. I just know it should be at 120 degrees. That's as far as I can help you.
Well, I'm writing down my to-do list for after we record this.
And then, of course, there's the thermostat. So one, if you're looking to go like a little above and beyond, you can get a programmable thermostat. We have a Nest that we love, and that will tell if you're away because it uses location services, which is, I know, is a whole thing. But if you don't mind sharing your location, it is great because it will turn the air off or the heater off. We also love it if we're out of town and we're coming home and it's hot. We can, like, on the way home, we'll bump the temperature down so that way we don't come home to a super hot house. But this one's really easy because it just takes a little bit of paying attention. And it's just, can I turn it down a couple more degrees in the winter and maybe put a jacket on? Can I keep it a little bit hotter in the summer? I mean, the odds of you noticing it are pretty slim. Like, I'm not saying bump it up like 10 degrees.
Right.
It's just like maybe like 1 or 2 degrees. Like, and don't make yourself uncomfortable. Of course, if you have babies or, you know, you live with like an elderly parent or something, like, don't make everybody miserable. But I think there is some wiggle room, 1 or 2 degrees either way, depending on the season, that you really aren't going to notice.
Yeah. Bill for terms. Sure. Right. Yeah. We're not so great in the summer because I get hot so easily. But in the winter, it's never on because I'm like, get a blanket. Right. You're good.
Well, and I've noticed it's harder to do because we're home so much more. And so take that into consideration also. But I have heard a lot of reports that heating is going to cost a lot more this winter. So this is going to be a great winter to try it out.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I always used to do, like pre-kids, when I've always been kind of stingy with the heater. I will use the air conditioner, but the heater, I'm like, too bad. I would just go bake some cookies and then turn on the oven.
Oh, smart. And
that would heat up our tiny little apartment.
I love it.
Okay, so speaking of temperatures, another one you can double check is the refrigerator. The ideal temp for the fridge is between 37 and 40 degrees. And again, this is one you can kind of play with. We actually got a new fridge. It's been almost 2 years now, but I'm finally
at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah,
so I'm
like, your last time in a store with no mask on.
It really was. So obviously I've been a little preoccupied and haven't really been paying a ton of attention to the fridge, but I have noticed lately that a lot of our stuff, if it goes back in like the one back corner of the fridge, is kind of frozen. So it's too cold in there. So I actually just the other day, and it's kind of takes some trial and error because you want some stuff to be really cold and some stuff doesn't need to be as cold. So you kind of, and maybe you just know, like, don't put something back in the back of the fridge if it doesn't need to be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And every fridge is so different.
Right. Too. So again, this is like a kind of like set it and forget it kind of thing, but it does take some focus to dial it in. Another thing with the refrigerator is to pull out your fridge, which I know is a real bitch, but this is especially important if you have pets that shed a lot, and dust or clean off the coils in the back, because when those coils aren't clean, they're working harder, which means they're using more energy and probably not cooling and freezing as well as it should. And also, this will keep your fridge running, because we've had with our old fridge, we had like this warranty, and part of the warranty, somebody would come out every year to do this for us. And they said that with these newer fridges, which are built to literally only last a few years, which is like a whole other eco problem in itself, but they said that that's like the easiest thing you can do to keep your fridge running, because then the coils will just burn out, and that happens so often on them. So keep those clean. It will use less energy. It will keep your fridge running longer, which saves you money.
What if I am afraid of what's behind my fridge?
Well, this would be a card that you deal to a spouse.
Okay, got it.
All right, staying in the kitchen. So have you noticed a theme? Like, we're talking about the large major appliances, because those are the huge energy suckers in the house. So the dishwasher. This is going to be controversial, and I know it will be. Turn off the heat dry setting. that is taking up so much energy. And I put my dishes away a little bit wet. I know that's probably going to like freak some people out, but it's fine.
Even when we use the heat dry, they're still a little wet.
Exactly. You know, I saw this hack the other day and I haven't tried it because I typically run my dishwasher overnight and I'm not awake to do this. But I saw that if you take a clean, dry dish towel and you like drape it over the door so that it's half in, half out, and then shut it in there, that the towel will like absorb all the moisture.
Oh,
really? I haven't tried it, but I mean, like, it stands to reason that it would work. So,
will my dishwasher even close with a towel in
Listen,
it?
Each dishwasher is different. I don't know.
I mean, I'm willing to try
anything. I saw it on the internet. I
also don't want it to catch on fire or something.
I saw it on the internet. It's true.
You did your research.
The other thing you can do with the dishwasher is to, most newer dishwashers have like an eco wash or like a 1 hour sanitizing rinse kind of thing. So try that. Also, this is also going to be another controversial viewpoint. The dishwasher is more of a sanitizer than a washer. So the better you rinse the dishes, then the easier it is on your dishwasher, and it won't have to run as long and it won't use as much energy. Because we can get water back, we cannot get energy back. Also, if you have thought about like water, especially here in California in the drought, go and listen to Pantsuit Politics. They did this whole series over the summer about infrastructure and they talk about water. It like blew my mind, the different thing. Did you know that? I mean, like, I feel like this is, again, one of those things that I knew, but I don't like think about daily. So all the water we have on Earth is all the water we've ever had. So like people like freak out about like cleaning sewage water and reusing it. Like we've been doing that for a long time. So yeah, highly recommend that episode. So let's move on to the other big appliance in your house, the washer and dryer. Do you sort all your clothes when you wash them?
No.
Okay. So I know there are lots of people and I don't mean like sort by like person or like towels and clothes. I mean like sort by color.
I will do whites separately. Actually, correction. Tyler will do white separately because he bleaches like his undershirt sometimes. Okay. But no, me, no.
Well, I mean, I meant Tyler. So you can actually wash any color. I mean, assuming you're not bleaching or something like that, in cold water, and the colors will not run. So if you throw all of your clothes in the washer, and wash them in cold water, the colors won't run. You'll be fine. I promise you. And it's going to save you time. So the reasoning behind washing in cold is that you are using energy to heat the water and then using more energy to wash the clothes. So if you truly don't need hot water, don't use it. And so I actually looked this up. Liter of water needs 1,000 calories to be heated 1 degree Celsius. So it takes.
How much is that Fahrenheit?
Listen, do you think anybody in America cares about that calculation? I couldn't find it. Okay. But.
Sorry.
So it just shows you that to like a liter is not much water. And if it takes 1,000 calories, which of course I think in terms of food. Like that's a lot to only go up 1 degree. So if you really don't need the hot water, just do cold, even like lukewarm water. I know my washing machine has a setting for like, I think it's like tap warm or something like that. So it's not like,
we mostly do warm.
Yeah. But I mean, even that, if you're going from like hot water, just going down to warm, it's all about progress, right? It's about little tiny things that you can do. Like, well, I'm not asking anybody to be perfect. And I think that's, you know, it's about like, oh, I can do this in warm. It's not as bad. Maybe I'll try cold next time.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. These ones I am not so good at.
Do you know how many things I have plugged in my house?
I know.
Just unplug anything with an indicator light when not in use.
Well, so like everybody just take a minute and think about all the things that are plugged into an outlet right now in your home.
Oh, it's very overwhelming.
It is. It's a lot. And if you think about things that have an indicator light, like our air fryer that gets left on the counter all the time. Another big one is like anything in your entertainment center, all those things. So this is called vampire energy because even though the thing is not on, it is still sucking energy out of the plugs. Another culprit of this is
because of the light.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because something is powering that little tiny light that's on and it's energy. Another huge vampire energy sucker is chargers, which I think at present count in my home right now, there are 6 plugged in. So, I mean, like,
so many.
I know. It's when, if you think of how many things in your home right now between all your family members that have a charger, it's a lot. But when, and we in our house, the kids' devices just are like constantly plugged in, but the battery can only hold so much power. So it's not doing anything if it's at 100% and it's plugged in. So this is definitely an area that my family could be better at. But of course,
so if they're just, what if the charger's plugged in but the device is not connected?
Those are, they're still sucking.
Still sucking a little.
So one thing you can do,
cool.
I know, if you, well, if you just think about that, like if you think about nothing else, if everybody in this country unplugged all of their chargers, just like think how much that could do, which again, I'm not doing this. This is an area of improvement for our household.
We are okayest.
But one thing you can do is to do a power strip. So instead of unplugging like the watch charger and your phone charger and like all in your, all those things on your nightstand, you can just like flip the switch on the power strip in the morning when you wake up or something like that.
My immediate thought is like, God, that's going to be so annoying. Like if I'm inconvenienced at all.
Okay. Well, you know what's annoying? Your planet imploding.
No, I do love my planet.
I know. No, I get it. If you think about like all the shit you have to do every single day, like unplugging a charger is very low on the list. And truth be told, like I'll look and see how much energy that is actually using. Who knows? Maybe Apple has changed their charger somehow, and that's not as big of a problem as it was before. But if that's a hard thing for you, then maybe like pick up 2 or 3 other things that aren't so hard. You know what I mean? So again, this is not about doing everything perfectly. It's about biting off what you can chew. So that way you can say, I've done what I can.
Sustainable change.
Yes. Another thing. Oh, I forgot this one for laundry. To air dry things as much as you can. I don't do this with clothes because I think they get kind of crunchy and I don't like that. But I will do it with like blankets or big giant beach towels or things like that. That
rugs.
Yeah. Like things that can sit out for a couple hours and I'm not going to miss it. And yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to do it more with some of my clothes so they last longer too.
Yeah. That's a good point too. So that's another way you can save money too. But like jeans get so crunchy. I don't like them.
I don't.
But you can air dry them and then like throw them in the dryer for like 5 minutes to fluff them up. And that's still better than 45 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The last one I have for energy saving. This, AJ has taken this like an oath. He is very serious about it. Replacing all the incandescent bulbs with LED bulbs. And when I tell you the amount of trial and error with bulbs we have done, we're not even going to go there. But check with your city or whoever, like your power company, because there could be rebates for the light bulbs. And that's actually how we swapped a lot of ours, is that they offered a rebate for a certain type of light bulb that were available at multiple stores in our city. And so we were able to do that. Another thing we've done with lights is put timers on. We had a huge problem with the kids leaving the downstairs bathroom light on. And so we put a motion sensor on that and it turns off after 10 minutes. And so that's a way. My kids cannot turn off a light to save their lives. And so that's a good one. We've also synced our kitchen lights with our Alexa. So that's a little easier. Like when you finally sit down on the couch and realize you kept all the lights on, you can just tell your robot to do it.
Oh, that's good to know about the light bulb rebate. Because since we moved, this house has a lot more light bulbs and it sat empty for like 6 months. So like light bulbs have been going out like crazy until I was like, another light bulb, another bulb store. So that's good to know.
Yeah. I know City of Roseville also had rebates for the smart thermostats, and they also had one for a smart sprinkler, like the thing in the garage that runs the sprinklers. I have no idea what that's called. But we swapped ours to a smart thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also a rebate too.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. Oh, another thing with lights is, I know we're heading into like the dark time. And so maybe
what am I gonna do with my plants?
It's a real concern. But maybe kind of like play around with when you turn the lights on too. I know we all have different lighting needs, but maybe instead of turning on like all the lights downstairs, you just turn on like the light in the kitchen where you're working or whatever. Or
listen, I have seasonal depression, so like I just need lights on at all times, but I can turn them off when I walk out of a room. I could be better about that.
Yes. Or just be better about opening blinds and like drawing the shades and stuff. Like
they're always open,
which is another good one for in the summer when it's super hot, to like be more militant with when you shut the windows. Nothing makes me angrier than everybody leaving the upstairs windows open all day on a hot July morning. Like,
oh yeah, and it's blazing upstairs.
Yes. Yeah. I haven't been back up there. Like you have to go up there, because once it gets so hot upstairs, there's no turning back.
Yeah. We're all sleeping in the living room.
All right, let's transition to food. Oh, wait, hold on. So how many of the, do you feel like any of those are doable? Like things that you could put in?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like I'm doing, well, I have no idea what our water heater's at, but yeah, they're totally doable. I also have no idea what our fridge is at, you know, like just things I've never paid attention to that I could.
And those are
educate.
Right. And those are easy ones that you really don't have to like constantly pay attention to. It's just like maybe once every like once a year, you just like check in like, huh, things have been freezer burnt. Like,
right. Right. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to food. So this is a very loaded subject, food and its effect on the environment. I know there are some people who will say meat is no problem. There will be vegans who will tell you the exact opposite. Everyone has a different opinion about food, nutrition. We know these are not meant to be controversial. These are just meant to be like easy things. And not to mention that feeding a family is already like an act of Congress in and of itself. So these, again, are not meant to make your life harder in any way. I know food prices are going up. Eating all organically, eating locally is even more expensive. I mean, just eating like conventional food is more expensive. And I think there's also a great amount of privilege in this aspect of food
and sustainability. Right. Yeah, for sure.
So just know that.
No, I think that was a good caveat. Like, if you can do these things,
right?
That's great. If you can't, that's fine
too. And I know, like, there's the Dirty Dozen list, which is like the top 10 produce you should always buy organic because they're the most likely to have all the pesticides and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think like apples and tomatoes are always on that list. Like, if you think about something that you're like biting into and eating all of it, like an apple versus a pineapple, like you'd probably want to buy an organic apple versus a pineapple, which you're going to cut all the skin off.
Yeah.
Okay. So one you can do is to eat one meatless meal a week. And I've kind of talked about this a little bit. I know you guys are a lot better about meatless options.
Yeah, we try to do it at least once a week. Both my kids are vegetarians by happenstance. They just barely eat any meat.
I was going to say that gives them quite the moral high ground there.
I know. It's funny, actually. Harrison is like, well, I'm just a vegetarian. I don't want that turkey. And I was like, oh, vegetarians eat vegetables. Like, what are you doing?
There are a lot of vegetarians who subsist only on gummies and so.
God. He's a fruititarian, is more like it.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I try to do like one meatless meal a week. But there's nobody in my family that's like, I'm the chef in our family, and nobody gives me any strong opinions either way. So that's why I do it. If I had like a meat eater that needed like steak and potatoes every night, like maybe it wouldn't happen as much.
Right. Well, and AJ is totally the like steak and potatoes eater. And if you just don't mention, I mean, like, obviously he's not dumb. He knows there's no meat, but he also knows that.
Just don't make it a thing.
Right. Exactly. If you're like, this is what's for dinner. And he also knows better than to like criticize my meal choices because
right. After it's made too, like
right. Because there have been many a disagreements about how disproportionate the workload is for mealtime. And so he knows to just, I mean, and truthfully, he is not picky and will literally eat anything. So I think it's just a matter of the habit change, right? Once you start meal planning, then once you get the hang of meal planning, then okay, let's meatless Monday is a big option. That's like an easy Pinterest search you can do. And the one caveat of that is to kind of be conscious of the meatless substitutions, like the Beyond Burgers and like Morningstar and like the chickenless nuggets, those kind of things. While those are good options, there is, and this is like another one of like, it's very up for debate, but a lot of people believe that those options aren't as good from an environmental standpoint because it still takes a lot of water to produce those things. And so the whole reason behind going meatless is there's kind of a couple different reasons. One big reason though is that the water consumption required to get beef to the table. So this statistic comes from PETA, so like grain of salt, because I did find like a whole, like a very wide range of how many gallons it takes to make water. So like bottom line is it takes a lot of water to make 1 pound of ground beef. According to PETA, they say 2,400 gallons of water per pound of beef, which was definitely on like the very high end of what I found. But regardless, it's still a lot. So that's why we wanted to reduce beef. Not to mention, like, there are some health risks and complications associated with eating very high beef diets. So because, like, the Beyond and stuff like that still uses a lot of water, it's not necessarily, like, a better substitution, but it's also better than eating regular beef. The other problem with beef, like cows specifically, is that they produce, like, a large amount of CO2 because they poop a lot, and manure is like a huge emitter of CO2. Like, if you've ever driven down I-5 in California past the dairy farms and, like, I mean, it's like literal mountains of shit.
Yeah.
It's just
basically where I grew up. Yeah.
And so, like, that smell you're smelling is the earth burning. I mean, and I love a burger. I love a burger.
Of course. But in, like, that's, I mean, in everything, right? Like, moderation.
Right. You know? So if you are eating, you know, like, burgers and pot roast and, like, you know, beef after beef, like, maybe, like, go from 5 nights to 3 nights, or, you know, not that chicken is any better.
Who's cooking 5 nights a week? Well, shit.
Don't order 5 nights a week.
There you go.
Not that chicken is, like, any, like, truthfully, any meat industry is terrible for the environment, but that's a whole other Michael Pollan interview. Another one you can do is to eat local whenever possible. So check out the farmers markets. If you're in Roseville, which I know a lot of you are, we have a new amazing one that I've been going to on Sundays at Mahaney Park. They're, I mean, you get to know the growers and you know where the food came from, and the prices are pretty comparable, honestly. So and this is one thing that always, like, what is local? Because I live in California where basically everything is grown. So, like, what is local? The USDA defines local as anything grown or, like, the origin of the product. So whether that's, like, coffee, meat, whatever, within 400 miles of where you live. So if you're in California and you buy a product grown in California, it's pretty safe to say that can count as local, or within the state it was produced. So there's also a big debate, because we also hear, like, eat organically as much as you can. There are some people who say eating locally is better than eating all organic, because if you think about the transportation, so if you were to get organic strawberries grown in Chile in the dead of winter, think of how far that food had to travel. And so it's probably taking a train. It's probably taking a truck. It's probably taking a ship sometimes. And all of that is using fossil fuels to get to you. So that's why people say they would prefer people eat locally, because it's less, it may not be, like, better quality food. And, like, organic quality is also up for debate whether that's totally better all the time anyway. But we need to be thinking more about how the food is getting to the store where we buy it. And maybe that means eating more seasonally and not getting the watermelon in January, which I have been known to yell at my kids multiple times in a Costco because, no, I'm not buying a watermelon in January.
Oh, I totally, this is something I actually think about a lot. Like, do we need all of the produce section to be completely full all the time? No, we don't. I feel like it would actually be better for our kids too, to not, well, like, yeah, seeing a watermelon.
Right. Well, and this is where, truthfully, like, the majority of my guilt comes from, because these are things I know, but also I have to feed these damn kids. And my kids are also fruitarians. I have to buy a lot of
strawberries year round over here.
And I've joked many times that, like, Costco is my love language. I am in Costco once a week because we go through so much produce that it's not financially possible for our family to eat local organic produce all the time. My kids can kill a flat of strawberries in a day. Like, it's not possible. So I get that it's hard to balance feeding your kids all the colors of the rainbow, but also, like, the rubber meets the road at some point and you have a budget. And so, you know, you kind of just have to pick, like, these are the things that I want to buy locally and organically as much as possible. And you stock up when they're on sale and you throw them in the freezer. And these are the things that I'm going to make concessions on. Food waste is also another huge problem. I've seen statistics, especially recently. I think this has, like, been on the forefront of a lot of people's minds through the pandemic, that we buy way more than we need and we are not using it. Like, raise your hand if you've ever thrown out a clamshell of spring mix, like all of us.
So I definitely raised my hand. This was an audio medium here.
I mean, I have too, for sure. Nothing gets me hyped more than finishing a clamshell of spring mix. Like, gold star in adulting. But
yeah, that's something, composting definitely intimidates me.
Totally. So here is my happy medium, because those of you who have been around with us on Instagram may recall that I tried to make my own compost bin out of a Lowe's bucket, which worked fine until like a pandemic hit. And then I just like could not care anymore. So I got this, it's like a little mini garbage can, and it's got this filter on it, so it like keeps the stink in, and I line it with compostable baggies. And I just throw all the kitchen scraps. So like when you're peeling sweet potatoes, the skins go in there, like the ends of the zucchini that you cut off, the cores of the apple, whatever it is. And when it gets full, I just toss it in my green waste garbage can, because our city has recently started allowing food scraps. I think people have been doing this all the time, but I am married to an extreme rule follower who said, it says yard waste, you can't put food in there. So... So the compost can be turned into soil, which can, you know, be used to grow more food. And when it's thrown in with regular garbage, as well as our county does with like sorting trash, they're not sorting food scraps. So like, it's just wasted. And it's a pretty easy, so like you can compost without doing like the full blown composting, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to do that.
And I can link to the little like compost bin I have.
Good. Influenced. I'm buying it.
But yeah, like food waste is that's probably like the easiest way, I think, because if you think about how food is transported, the amount of water and CO2 that's emitted just from growing food. And on top of that, like the huge cost of it, we know that the majority of our produce, especially in California, is picked by migrant workers who are not paid well. They don't have health insurance. They've been working through a pandemic. I've seen photos of wildfires approaching, and these poor people are still out there picking strawberries because if the crop burns, they get no money. Like there's such a human cost to the food, and to just like throw it away without a second thought because you didn't feel like a salad or whatever. Like that's where the guilt gets me, because I know so much work has gone into this food, and like to just throw it away is like, ugh, that's where it gets me. But again, I understand plans change. Your whole family got the stomach flu and you didn't finish the carrots or whatever. Like shit happens. I get it. But be more conscious about meal planning and buying only what you need and using up what you have. And
yeah, the planning is the make or break for me. If I sit down and like plan on a Sunday what we're going to eat all week, then it's not a problem. But it's always when I like just throw stuff into my cart,
right?
You know, I don't do as well.
Well, and I get it, like your kids like cucumbers one day and not the next, like it happens. I get it. But you know, maybe you buy like a little cucumber instead of like the 3-pack of giant ones from Costco, you know, like it's
right.
Yeah. All right. I could talk about food for a long time because I clearly have a lot of feelings wrapped up in it. All right. So let's talk just like general household stuff. One I love is reducing waste in school lunches. I went to elementary school in the 90s in the Bay Area, which was like hippie central, basically. And a whole thing was like zero waste school lunch. Like that was, you know, while the Lunchable craze was hitting. So I think that, what? Yeah, right. So using things like a bento box for your kids, I can link ones that we use and love. Reusable snack bags, because I know, at least for my kids, they need like a separate snack to take to recess. And they're actually surprisingly good at returning the reusable snack bags. I I'm shocked. I think we've lost one. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, of course, reusable water bottles and just being more mindful of the snacks you're buying. If you are buying all individually wrapped packages and tiny juice boxes and all those things all the time, maybe try and buy like a bigger bag of those things and then use your reusable bags. And I know that takes more time. I know, I hear it. And I know that sometimes those individual packaged things are easier for kids to make their own lunches. I get it. I do. But, and this is probably one that's going to take a little more effort, but I think your kid could fill up a reusable bag with some Cheez-Its instead of using the individual one. And not to say that that individual stuff doesn't have its place. I think, like, you know, if you're a snack mom for soccer or camping, like I get those things have their place, but if that's like on your weekly always have on hand grocery list, maybe think about switching that up. I felt
yeah.
like
yeah.
that felt really judgy.
I feel attacked. No.
I'll attack you. That's
fine. Yeah. I've gotten a lot better. We actually, the pandemic helped with this because I was like, why am I buying these little individuals when we're home all the time and I can just go dig their hand in the bag? I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. but we use the little reusable snack bags now. I do still buy like pouches, which I know are terrible for the environment, but there's no way I'm going to do a reusable pouch and have to clean that shit every day. Oh yeah. I mean, it's like half and half over here and it's a goal. It's a goal.
I'm not buying applesauce pouches is also something I've yelled in Costco. And because right next to it are the jars of applesauce. I'm like, look, it is the same thing. I promise you. And if you want this, I will buy it and I can pour it into a bowl and you can eat it with a spoon. And you would have thought I said, I'm going to chop off your foot.
How dare you? You know what? Like, they are solely for lunches. We have regular applesauce too, but I guess I could put them in their bento box.
It's funny that you use applesauce as a snack because this has been a recent sticking point with me and my very stubborn boy. I bought them now that soccer is happening, we have snack duty and both teams insist we need a halftime snack, which I just think is just asinine. And so I got applesauce packets because they're individual and we're not sharing a bucket of orange slices during a pandemic. And it's like a quick snack.
And it's quick.
Yeah. So again,
they're what, like 4 minute halves
right.
where they.
Yes. So against all of my principles, I bought these stupid applesauce pouches from Costco. And then of course our snack time, the game got smoked out for air quality. And so they've been sitting in our garage and every day, mom, can I have applesauce? Finally, he broke me and but of course he's already had an apple that day. I'm like, an apple and an applesauce is literally the same thing. And also it's such a stupid snack because you're hungry again in 30 seconds. Like it's been a whole thing. It's been a battle. You choose your battles and applesauce is a battle I'm choosing.
Do you, boo?
You know what? These kids, they have so much. If all he has to tell his therapist is that mom wouldn't buy me applesauce pouches, we're fine.
Listen, I get it. I get it.
All right. Another one you can do is to go paperless or sign up for AutoBill. If you think about like how mail gets to you, it takes a very similar route as food. It's a lot of fossil fuels, but also like we kind of need to keep the post office alive. So I don't know. Do with that what.
Grain of salt. Yeah. Grain of salt.
Also consider the packaging on the things you buy most frequently. We just got a refill store in Roseville, which has been on my list of things to do is to go in there and check it out. So it's a place where they have everything in bulk and you can bring your own containers to refill when you need them and you just like pay by the weight. Now listen, if you have a toddler and a newborn, like this is not for you. But if your kids are a little bit older this could be something you could do. And even if it's not something you can do, just, you know, just to, I think, be more conscious of what's in the garbage can kind of show you like, oh, wow, like that's a lot of plastic bottles in there. Or, you know, I think just like noticing it is a step in the right direction. This is one I am not great about because I have my hangups, but buying clothes secondhand is also great. I think we all know about fast fashion by now and how terrible that is. Or, so I do this for my kids, but not for myself. I'll get them secondhand stuff. Find a mom friend with older kids. I have not bought Nolan a pair of pants in like years because I get all of Harrison and Sullivan's old ones.
I mean, you have pants coming.
Good. We need them. It's winter.
Together. I know, it's cold.
It got cold. I'm waiting for my new shipment.
It's coming.
Well, and also like to find a mom friend below you who's coming up, who like to give the clothes to instead of, because a lot of things when you donate them to like Goodwill or whatever, a lot of that stuff just gets thrown away and it just goes to the dump. Have you seen around town, there's these like drop-off bins where they'll recycle clothes?
I have seen those. Actually, I think we've used them once.
Yeah, I've started keeping a pile in the closet of like the kids' stuff that's just like stained beyond repair or has holes or whatever. So I'm not throwing it away, just recycle it. Another one, which this is up on my list I want to do, is to replace napkins and paper towels with cloth napkins and towels as much as possible. I'm like 75% of the way there with paper towels, but my kid, like, I think we still need to just be in there with the napkins still. My kids wipe one little corner and think they need a new one. And I think until I can train that out of them, then I don't know. How much more laundry can I be doing, you know? That's one where I struggle.
Well, right. Because I'm like, you're just transferring that energy to the laundry.
Exactly.
That's why I'm like.
So.
I mean, I could be more mindful about how many I'm using for
exactly.
Sure.
So maybe that's like my angle with the kids. So sometimes I get hung up on these is like, is a disposable one really bad? But also it's taking water to create that paper. So. And I think this is one a lot of us are going to be forced into because there's a paper shortage. So
what is not short right now?
Another one for the laundry room is to use wool dryer balls instead of cling sheets, because those cling sheets are just garbage. Also in the bathroom, to use either a washcloth or a makeup removing cloth. I love the makeup erasers. Which is a reusable cloth that takes makeup off instead of the individual face wipes or the cotton rounds. Is that, if you think of everybody, every woman in the world, which I know this isn't true, they're not all using it, but using one of those every single day, it's a lot. And I have heard from several estheticians that those makeup wipes, like the Neutrogena face wipes, aren't good for your skin. So all right, miscellaneous category, just a couple here and then we are done. I know this is a lot. I'm sure listening to this, it's probably like drinking through a fire hose, but again, maybe you pick one or two this first listen, maybe you come back and listen again when you've mastered those and you want a couple more. Like, nobody should do all of these things like at the same time. Check the air pressure in your tires, which, okay, hear me out. This one sounds crazy. I know. So transportation is like, in general, is obviously like a huge greenhouse emitter. So this is also one that's going to save you money, because when the tire pressure is low in your car, you get fewer miles per gallon, which means that you are filling up more frequently, which costs you more and is more of a demand on fossil fuels. So your car will run more efficiently. You will be spending less money on gas, which is super important now because we're like, what, at $4.50 a gallon in California here? And you will also be using less CO2, making less CO2.
No, it makes sense. I just don't know if I've ever checked the air pressure in my tires. That's a Tyler thing. Right.
Another one is to use alternate modes of transportation whenever possible. Maybe you walk to the grocery store instead of driving 5 minutes. We live in a neighborhood that nothing is walkable, which is really upsetting to me. And we're getting things that are bikeable, but nothing is walkable still. And it's like a real bummer. So if you live like that somewhere where you can't walk to things, try and group as many errands as you can. I know time is finite and you have to pick up the kids or whatever, but if you can do the Costco run and fill up gas and do the Target pickup all in one fell swoop, like do that as often as you can, because every time you're stopping the car, it takes more gas to start it up each time.
I can't believe people don't do that. Like, well, yeah. I don't want to go anywhere. So I need to get all the things done so I don't have to do it again.
Totally. But I think there are people who, like, I'm thinking of like people who go to the grocery store every single day to pick up one or two things instead of doing like one big trip.
Yeah, got it.
And then the last one, which like I know I could be so much better about, to just be more conscious of your shopping habits. I love a buy now button on Amazon. And
PayPal, great.
The amount of times that like I actually need it here. And you know when this one really hit home is when I ordered something early one morning on a Sunday, no less. And we had it on our porch by like 3 p.m. And it wasn't anything I like desperately need. And I was like, this is ridiculous. This is not okay. Down with Amazon. Yeah.
That's happened to me too. And I have been trying to add things as I think of them, might need, and then like buy them on Fridays. And by then I'm like, oh, I don't really need that. Exactly. You know, and then there's less returns, and then there, yes, you know, it has helped a lot.
Yeah. And there's always that save for later button too, which like,
oh, right. Yeah. I do that a lot too.
Yeah. Which is like, I do still want this, but I don't need it. So
I don't need it right now. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know it's hard, but I mean, truly, like, it's going to save you money. And also, the odds of you like truly needing that thing is probably pretty slim. So
yeah, for sure. For sure. I do that with groceries too, because we have a Walmart Plus membership. So I get our groceries delivered from there. And I usually place the order on Friday to be delivered on Monday. And so I'm just adding stuff to it all week as I think of like, oh, let's have that meal on Monday or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope some of those are helpful. I know this probably sounds so intimidating, and this episode is created truly not to intimidate you and not to like freak you out that the earth is gonna blow up any second.
No, it's meant to empower you.
Like, a lot of this stuff isn't really gonna deviate from your daily habits too much. Like, it's just maybe like one or two steps to the left instead of what you're used to.
Yeah. And let us know what we forgot. Follow us on Instagram, OKSMomsBlog. We want to hear it, and we'll share it. And you know, let's save the earth.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at OKest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okestmoms.com.